Good evening. Tonight is April 9th, 2020. I'd like to call this meeting of the Auburn City Council to order. Mr. Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Thank you. We have Mayor Quill is excused this evening, will not be at the council meeting. We have two members of council that are Zooming in tonight, and then we have two members of council that are here. Councilor McCormick?
Here.
Councilor Genatino?
Here.
Councilor Cuddy?
Here.
Councilor LoCastro?
Here.
And Mr. Clerk, before we stand to say the pledge, I'd like to also say for the record, we have Ms. DeForest from Corporation Council on the line, Ms. Haynes from Planning and Economic Development, and Chief Fritz from Auburn Fire Department. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please remain standing for a moment of silent prayer or reflection. Thank you. Mr. Clerk, public announcements?
None this evening. Thank you.
Meeting minutes will be ready next week. We'll move right to the city manager's report.
Thank you, Councilor. I've got a few updates here. Shouldn't be as long as the last couple of weeks. We expect to commence work next week on a sewer line replacement on Orchard Street. This is work that's been planned for some time. That will take care of a sewer line that runs on Orchard Street between Baker and Columbus. The current section of line is very old. It's made of brick, and it continues to collapse on itself, creating backups in that area. So that'll be underway next week. Equipment is staged already. We're anticipating, again, an early start to the road program, which, given the current circumstances, may be a good thing. It's good that we can start early, but it's at this point in time, with less traffic out, it'll be a little less disruptive. We're expecting that to start the beginning of May. Contracts have been finalized, and there's just some administrative work going on with the contractor right now to get that going. Staff continues to work on regular tasks associated with providing city services to residents and businesses. In addition, we're also working on several items related to the coronavirus situation. It should be noted that the Cayuga County Health Department is the agency responsible for the medical and public health aspect of the local response. Our departments and staff follow the Cayuga County Health Department's directives on matters related to public health. And I say that because we get questions on occasion that are actually questions that are better suited for the Department of Health, and I think that in a lot of cases the public doesn't realize the difference in who conducts certain aspects of business. Our city parks remain open for walking and biking where permitted. However, our city playground equipment, basketball, and tennis courts are closed as per an order issued earlier this week. I know the public can't see, but we brought in some signage for the councilors that are here to see what's in place at our parks. Our police, fire, and codes departments were issued guidance earlier this week on handling complaints for businesses not complying with New York State executive orders related to occupancy, or dealing with groups of individuals not complying with New York State executive orders related to gatherings and social distancing. We've been fortunate. We haven't received too many complaints, but we do on occasion receive complaints related to violations of those things, so we have a process in place to deal with them. Staff from our planning and fire departments continue to reach out to local service organizations, senior living facilities, assisted living facilities, etc., to assess their changing needs in an attempt to address those needs in a variety of ways, and whether that's us directly taking part in getting them services or things that they need, or putting them in touch with another organization that can fill that gap. We continue to do that on a weekly basis. And so far, most of those organizations and facilities are doing well with just some minor needs here and there. Our planning department has been busy keeping updated on emerging federal and state economic incentive programs for businesses, not-for-profits, housing, and human services. They're coordinating with various agencies, including CETA, to avoid a duplication of efforts and to share the tremendous responsibility of community outreach, program administration, compliance, and simply keeping up with the rapidly changing rules of a number of programs. Earlier this week, we asked CETA for a brief overview of the City of Auburn businesses they have communicated with regarding some of these new programs that are out there to assist those businesses. And CETA replied that they have worked with a total of 126 Cayuga County businesses as of Tuesday and had communicated with 81 City of Auburn businesses. That included 6 construction firms, 3 brewers, 2 entertainment businesses, 15 food service businesses, 8 related to health and wellness, 1 hotel, 6 manufacturers, 3 not-for-profits, 17 retail establishments, 7 salons, 4 transportation-related businesses, and 9 businesses that were in an other category. So they've been busy, and we appreciate that. Our planning department continues to work with HUD on the recently announced allocation of $523,452 to the City of Auburn. Details of the use and the rules for this funding continue to evolve. Some highlights that we are currently aware of: the public comment period may be reduced to not less than 5 days for an expedited process, and HUD is encouraging prioritizing low and moderate income support. The Planning Department is communicating with economic development, housing, and human service organizations to better assess our local needs to roll that money out when it's available. That's really all I've got right at the moment.
Thank you. Councillor McCormick, do you have any questions for Mr. Dygert?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
Councillor Cuddy?
No, thank you, Councillor.
Councillor LoCastro?
Where do we stand with our staff now? I mean, I know City Hall, we have people working out of our homes. Police and fire are on the job. Where do we stand with, like, Mike Talbot's crews?
So Mike Talbot's crews are coming in as needed. So during different events, they'll come in. Some of you may have noticed or may have even received complaints. I'm surprised if you haven't received some complaints about trees that were trimmed back on South Street, for instance, by NYSEG for some new power lines. Their tree crew came in and dealt with that. We are under some directive from New York State. If we go back to March 7th when the governor signed an executive order number 202.4 for municipalities to reduce their staff by 50%. It's been recognized that that may not be possible all the time depending on circumstances, but we've been encouraged to do our best to keep our staffing at 50%. So with that, a lot of the DPW crews have been sent home, and they come in when a need arises, when something pops up. To that end, again, with the weather changing, I'm thinking the snow event that we may have this weekend hopefully is an anomaly and that'll be the end of it, but we know we're going to have to start mowing parks and public places soon to keep things under control. So we will be pulling people in as necessary to take care of those types of items.
Thank you. Yep.
On that topic, I mean, I understand the purpose of workforce reduction, but I mean, there have been, I guess, how do I want to say it? There's been exceptions to that rule. If people are working outside, can't we apply for one of those exceptions to say, geez, they're not working in the same building together, this work needs to be done?
The exceptions that I have seen are for public sector, or for private sector, I'm sorry. Have not seen exceptions for public sector at this point. We can continue to look into it. NICOM has our back on those things, and we get regular updates every couple of days from NICOM that attempt to interpret the intent of some of these executive orders and go the extra step to get further clarification from New York, the various New York State departments that are responsible for different things. So as of yet, we haven't received any sort of blanket exception on that, where there's been a lot more discussion about the private sector mm-hmm. and exceptions. So okay. We're doing our best to comply but still provide necessary services.
Thank you. Reports from members of council. Councillor McCormick.
I'm fine, thank you.
Councilor Cuddy?
I'm all set, Councilor.
Councilor Castro?
All set, thank you.
Right, moving on. Staff and vendor presentations. This evening we'll have the preliminary budget presentation for the 2020-2021 fiscal year. Ms. Jacobs?
So, Councilor, earlier in the week and last week, our comptroller Rachel Jacobs and I spent some time together. Rachel had gone through and did a significant amount of work working off of last year's budget and this year. Trying to whittle those down so that less extensive budget. I think she's done a good job. As we spoke about last week at the council meeting, we wanted to try to simplify this process. I know it's not what we normally would do. There are, at this point in time, so many questions that remain unanswered, and we don't expect that we'd have good, solid, accurate answers to a lot of those questions to be able to address things more accurately than this. So I'll let Rachel explain where we're at right at the moment. And again, after this, next week is, where are we at? Next week was the business session or a work session, but essentially the only thing on the agenda for next week would be discussion of this budget, and the following week would be with any luck, some sort of council approval or guidance on the budget so we can move forward.
Okay. What I'm first going to do is go through the actual presentation, and then if we have budget-specific questions, I have each budget in here as well. The general fund expenditure budget for this recommended budget is $35.6 million. That's a 5.5% decrease over last year's revised budget. Our current gap, which could possibly be filled with fund balance at this point, is $648,000. The total tax revenue increase is approximately 1.9%.
648 or 468?
468. Sorry, did I say that backwards?
Yeah, it's okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
The total tax revenue increase is approximately 1.9%, and that's based on the compliance with the state tax cap and that calculation. We're still currently in general compliance with our five-year plan. Items to note, based on the general fund expenditures, there were no positions added or removed in this budget. All the salary and wage increases that are in here are based on actual contractual increases or CBA language. The health insurance, we used a 10% increase projection for the second half of the year. General fund revenues, again, as I mentioned, the property taxes would be a 1.9% increase, which equates to $230,000. Sales tax, we're predicting no increase or decrease at this point. We just kept it flat with last year. Our pilots increased 23% this year, which is an increase of $111,000. We're anticipating about a 4.2% increase for our code enforcement, grass, snow, trash removal, which is $5,000. And we also have received the LISC grant again, which is the amount of $56,000 this year.
For those watching at home, can you explain what the LISC grant is?
I don't know the terminology of it, but it is a grant that funds part of our code enforcement and part of our planning department's salaries.
Thank you.
And Corporation Council.
And Corporation Council. This slide is a year-to-year comparison over what our 2020 revised was versus the 2021 recommended. As you can see, there are a lot of decreases compared to last year. The General fund decrease is 5.5. The solid waste fund, which is essentially our landfill fund, shows a decrease of 73%, and that is based on the assumption that as of July 1st, the landfill will essentially be closed. The refuse collection went down 30%. Our power utility fund was slightly up. The transfer station is obviously a new fund this year, so that has no change compared to last year. The water fund is a decrease of 14%, and the sewer fund was a decrease in expenditures of 4%. Taking a look first at municipal utilities. The power utility fund currently has a gap deficit of $360,000. Approximately $310,000 of that thousand is based on the debt service from the cogen facility. The sewer fund, that one can be balanced completely without fund balance as well as no rate increases. The water fund has no rate increases as well. Currently, there is showing a gap of approximately $132,000, which, based on the previous methodology, that was actually anticipated to start happening this year, that there would be a deficit compared to the previous years where there was a surplus, which so that can be funded with fund balance.
What is the current fund balance in the water fund?
I do not have that with me.
To Rachel's point, though, if you recall when we did the rate and we set the rate a few years ago, I believe it was a five-year set it and forget it situation. So in the beginning, the rate was a slightly higher than it needed to be. And then over the course of time, in the middle of that 5 years, it got to be right in the sweet spot where it needed to be. And towards the end, it's a little bit less than it needs to be. But that was anticipated, as Rachel mentioned.
If you could just... maybe email that information to us. I'm just curious what percentage of the fund balance that amount is.
Oh, okay. The other funds, the solid waste fund, again, as I mentioned, that's basically our landfill fund. It is showing a gap of approximately $1.5 million. The majority of that, a big portion of it, is based on our last payment for our bond payment, which is about $800,000. And as I mentioned, we are closing the landfill. Depending on that date, the revenues may shift a little, but we wanted to be very conservative in our numbers of actual revenue coming in after that closes. That can be balanced with fund balance as well. The refuse collection fund has a gap of $130,000, which that can also be balanced using fund balance. And transfer station was balanced without fund balance, which there isn't actually any fund balance in that account yet since it's brand new this year. This is basically the large items that I deleted from the budget or removed from people's requests. Vehicles and equipment, the assessor's office was looking for a replacement vehicle. The code enforcement office was looking for a dump truck as well as a Kubota to do sidewalks. Engineering was looking for an SUV. Other requests that were removed. Demolitions, they had requested $200,000. We reduced that down to $50,000, which is what they had last year. The housing code update was removed once again, which is $75,000. The Fort Hill district was removed for $15,000. The comprehensive plan update was removed at $55,000. And the IT position that we were originally looking to get for our technical support was removed as well. So that's approximately $50,000. And that's it for that portion. Do you have specific questions? Do you want to see the actual budgets?
Well, I mean, I can give some preliminary input from what I've read, if that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Dyer, Ms. Jacobs, thank you for putting this together under these circumstances. I know that budget season's never easy, let alone under these circumstances. I think it's safe to say the likes of which we've never seen. There's so much uncertainty. I would call this, I think, a good first draft of the budget. I do believe that over the next few weeks, we're going to have some work to do. You know, there are probably a lot of wild cards in front of us. The good news is that in the preliminary or in the state budget that was passed, we have our funding.
Correct.
Our AIM funding. But there's a big asterisk in that state budget, and while there may not be plenty of money in Albany, there could be plenty of red ink. And if the federal government doesn't come through with funding to states and municipalities, I think we're going to be in serious trouble in New York State. And the governor is going to have sole discretion on adjusting those levels. That's concerning to me. The other thing that is concerning to me is sales tax. We rely very heavily on sales tax. I think last year, did we budget $9.1 million? Is that?
Last year we budgeted a little less than that, but a little over nine, and we received more than that.
I mean, I know that this budget is not taking into account any change in sales tax. I think we need to look at it with a change in sales tax. I know the New York State Association of Counties has put out some estimates. They range from 3 to 11% decrease in sales tax. And I think we really need to look at what that would do to us with those numbers. You know, I guess part of the good news in terms of sales tax is we're at the tail end of winter. We're not into the nice months where we usually see an uptick in sales tax. But we don't know how long this is going to last, and we don't know what the long-term effects of this are in terms of sales tax. And I know that makes it difficult for you to project that. But I don't know that I'm comfortable. This is just me personally. I know there's four other members of council, and I'm sure they'll have input. I don't know that I'm comfortable voting on a budgeting the same amount of sales tax as last year.
Can I comment on your comment just for a second for clarification? And
yes.
Rachel can probably do a better job than I can, so I'll try to point her in the direction I'm talking. Our current budget, right, so the year that we're in, the current budget has a line in it for sales tax, as it always does for sales tax revenue. We typically in the last few years have outperformed in the budget in sales tax. So that's just something to keep in mind when we're talking in this budget presentation. I believe that, correct me if I'm wrong, Rachel, that the number that's put in for the budget is the same as last year, but we're on track to outperform
again this year. Yes.
Outperform the budget. So in effect we could actually, and we'll have to get those numbers, Rachel may already have them, but what we budget for and what we actually receive is a percentage above. So when you're talking that 3 to 11% reduction, that may actually be in there. We can do some further work on that. Does that make sense? I don't know if I said that in a way that
explains it appropriately. If you look at the trends from the previous years, we normally budget less than 9, but the 2019 actuals, we budgeted 8.5, I want to say, and we ended up getting 9.3. So the next year, which is the year we're in now, original assumption was to increase this year's budget to make up for, you know, what we're seeing as a potential increase. But we ended up deciding to just kind of keep it level just in case, which might work out for us or it might not. But at this point, we have received all sales tax through the end of February, and we're already above where we should be at this point. So I'm assuming, based on everything that I've reviewed, that we will already this year outperform where we budgeted. Next year, I understand, you know, there's obviously a lot of hesitant on whether or not to, you know, adjust to those. I think probably one of the best ideas is, obviously, we can change that number up until the day we adopt the budget. And as these monthly figures come out, we might have a better idea of the actual impact COVID related to that. But as of now, there's really not a way to know for sure. And even the estimates I've seen other municipalities come up with, you know, where are they coming up with this figure? I guess that's...
Sure, and I understand. I'm asking you to pull something out of thin air, basically. And I get that.
Yeah.
But I'd rather, me personally, again, I'm one of five, but I would rather err on the side of caution. I think that, you know, I'm hearing estimates that, you know, social distancing could be in place for months. We just don't know.
Right.
You know, the good news is what we're seeing is social distancing is working. And we're hoping that sooner rather than later, we'll be able to get back to some type of normal, whether it's a new normal or the old normal, we don't know. But I would be more comfortable if we erred on the side of caution, if we approach this, you know, an austerity type budget where it's, you know, we're saving positions, we're keeping people employed, we're providing the basic essential services that the people need on a daily basis with no extras. And then if the money's there for the extras, you know, we can put money into contingency. And if the money's there, we pull it out of contingency for those extras. But, you know, these are scary times for everybody. I know that, you know, I've talked to people in local business, whether they have money in the bank or not, they're acting like they don't have money in the bank because they don't know what the long-term effect of this is. And I think we should approach it that way. I think an austerity type budget is the way to go. And if the money's there, the money's there, and we can continue to do those extra things that we've done in the last 4 to 5 years. You know, the other concern I have too is going into next year, we don't know what the pension payment's going to be. And I know that doesn't affect this budget cycle, but it would be nice to have some money in fund balance and not raid fund balance now, because we don't know what the impact of that's going to be.
Right.
I'm greatly concerned about that. You know, the pension payment, for the most part, I think has remained pretty flat in recent years, and we could count on that. I'm really concerned. And I think, you know, we typically deride New York City for being an anchor on this state, but I think we're all about to witness just how important financially New York City is to this state, mm-hmm. and the tax revenue that comes out of New York City. And until we see some improvement there, I think we really need to be concerned. Councilor Cuddy?
Yes, thank you, Councilor Giacchino. I agree with Councilor Giacchino as... You know, as we start this budget, this preliminary budget, I do definitely see value in the being conservative in our purchases that we had planned on making, not making those purchases. I also applaud the comptroller and the city manager for putting our workforce as a priority and making sure that we are maintaining that workforce to provide the essential services to the people of Auburn. But I really think at this point in time that we need to think of this budget and prepare for what is coming. And to think of it as almost like an austerity budget, because I know that, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I think the best way for us to make sure that that we should go about this is to be as conservative as possible moving forward. And when I say conservative is really planning long term, like, and I think what Councilor Giacchino was saying about having a more conservative view of what the sales tax revenue is going to be, I think will help us in the long run. And if the projections are better than what we planned, that's all the better. But I think that the current projection is too high. And I just think that I would rather err on the side of caution, as my colleague had said, and just be more conservative so that we can be better prepared and long term, and not have to really rush to make cuts. And I understand the use of fund balance. I think one of the things that we've done over the last few years is done a good job in planning ahead for our budgets, and I think we're on. But we're in the middle of a pandemic that I think is going to have economic repercussions that are not going to be good. We know that already, but I think we should have think of it as what would be our worst case scenario, and you know, try to temper between what's been presented tonight and what are some things that we may have to do in the future so that we can continue to provide the services that the people of Auburn desperately need.
Councilor Castro?
I know this is just preliminary.
Mm-hmm.
What would a house assessed at 100 grand with this budget increase in a year?
It is $18.07.
Year, month?
Per year on their taxes. For city, that includes city, the capital improvement portion, and bid.
Are there any fees built into this budget so far?
Fees in terms of what?
Trash fees.
Yes, those are all in there.
They're all in there.
No increases, though.
No,
yes.
Increases. How about the overall debt? Where do we stand with that from last year to this year? Are we up? Are we down? And I'm not going to hold you to the penny.
I have all the budgets here. Each fund is separated out differently. Let me just bring up the general fund. I know the general fund, for example, is higher this year than it was last year. That's part of what makes the way the tax rate's calculated out. There's a separate portion for the capital portion. So that's part of why that portion of the taxes actually went up this year, because we do have more general fund debt than we did in previous year. The other funds... The landfill fund went up. That actually will probably be removed from the landfill section, because I think part of that, or most of it, probably has to do with the transfer station. So I'm just waiting for the actual figures on that before that's moved out. Looking at water. Those payments are up versus last year.
Just for round numbers,
mm-hmm.
How much did our debt go up?
These are just principal payments that went up. So it's probably between all the funds,
$210,000. Thank you.
All set. All set, Councilor Castro.
All set. Thank you.
Councilor McCormick.
Hi. Thank you. I can't see you, Rachel, but don't go anywhere. I've got two, maybe three questions. One, I want to go back to the Power Utility Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the benefit of the public, because we know what a sewer fund and a water fund is. And this has a $360,000 gap. Can you explain why we have that?
Why we have the gap?
And why we have that? What is the Power Utility Fund?
The Power Utility Fund is the cogen facility as well as the hydro facilities.
Okay. Why is it that we have a debt to the to pay for the cogen? Why is that?
There was money borrowed at one point several years ago for the cogen facility. And after that was turned off or however it may have happened.
Shut down.
Shut down. After that was shut down, we still have debt that we have to pay for the facility and for the upgrades and the equipment.
Okay. Off the top of your head, how many more years do we have to, if you have that off the top of your head, will we have that debt on our plate?
Quite a few, unless we try to possibly sell or do something different with it.
Okay. I kind of knew the answers, but I think it's important to bring it up because that is taxpayer money that is not able to be used to help us with what we're sitting on right now. That's quite a bit of money that we need to pay out for absolutely nothing that we have to show for it. Okay, my second question was, would you re-explain, or maybe I can ask the sales tax, you had a projection for this budget that we're in now, and we've surpassed it. I haven't had a chance to look at the detail. It says no change. Does that mean you projected for the 21 budget the higher, or the same as last year?
The same budgeted amount as last year, yes.
Okay, so if we're over, how much are we over now?
We're not over yet at this point because we've only received money through the end of February. But okay. Based on the projections and the trend of where we should be at this point of the year, we're surpassed that.
Okay, well, that's probably not going to happen next month. Okay, for that, would it be possible, because I think the sales tax it's been wonderful, boy, seeing it go up, but and we don't know where, like restaurants, gas stations, which is what. Is it possible for you to show us over the last maybe 3 years what the sales tax has been, just so we can see it? When either send it to us or present it next week, whatever is easier. And the other question is, what percentage of our entire budget revenue is sales tax towards our budget?
Let me bring that up here. Approximately a quarter.
It's a quarter. So property taxes, lots more, right? Three quarters?
Yes. There are a lot more, yes.
Yeah. So not that that is going to change wanting to look at it. If it was possible to look at some scenarios of what percentage we could look at a drastic, look at them almost drastic, some different scenarios, and what we'd have to make it up somewhere else. So I think we need to see, if we drop the estimate by 10%, whatever that dollar amount is, we're going to have to cut somewhere else. So I think I would need to see, some comparisons, some ways to look at it.
And to that point, I would definitely want some sort of input in terms of the entire council of a percentage-wise, because if we did look at something as drastic, in my opinion, as 10%, that's $900,000. So if you're reducing $900,000 from the budget, where's that going to come from?
Right. That's
so,
what I kind of get at. It would equal $900,000. I don't see that, but then I just pulled that out of the air. What if it's 1%, or just to show us what the different avenues are that we can go, because we really should look at it because we don't know. It's like driving blindfolded, just to see what we can do other than keep it the same, because we've been having some great years with sales tax. I can remember when they weren't great, and I know we're going to suffer. I can't imagine us not getting less than what we had last year. Is it possible to do two or three different ones? But you want direction from us as to how much?
Even just a rough idea. I mean, you know, I've seen some, I think it was the city of Syracuse, had some very large numbers, and I've seen other people come up with more modest numbers, say 3%. So, I mean, I can show it in any fashion that you'd like, just if you want to give me some idea of what percentage ranges you might want to see.
I think the city of Syracuse, the preliminary budget showed a $19 million decrease in sales tax, but I don't know what their overall sales tax is. And what percentage 19 million is?
Okay.
Mr.
Just a crazy question. What are our options if we run $2 million short?
Fund balance.
Does that affect your bonding or anything?
Utilizing fund balance does not negatively affect you. More when the auditors come, it becomes an issue. They don't like to see multiple years of you utilizing more fund balance. It's one thing if you budget for the use of fund balance, that is okay, but it's when people don't budget for that, and then at the end of the year, they need fund balance to make up the budget.
So like a household, if they go to the bank and borrow money and they got $400,000 in the bank, they take into consideration that they have $400,000 in their savings account. So it doesn't affect?
No.
Thank you.
I will say, though, the fund balance does come into play when Moody does the grading, which is what I sent out to you all about the A2 rating. So the fund balances that we have in proportion to what our total annual expenses are is how they determine where they think we are. So it's possible it could have an impact if it was enough to make a significant change in our possible future ratings.
Right, but across the country, if everybody's fund balance is going down,
right,
the balance that we have here
would stay within.
Take that into consideration.
Yes, they look at the median across the entire.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I think it's safe to say that we're asking Ms. Jacobs to put a couple scenarios together for us with decreases in sales tax, projections for decreases in sales tax. Is that agreeable?
Yes.
Okay.
But do we want to give her some idea? Or I know this budget is, they wouldn't give it to us unless they thought this was, you know, a decent budget, the best budget we could get. But to ask for those scenarios, I don't know where to start for a scenario. So I was thinking if Rachel could
1357
3912 depends on how
that's what I'm
I mean three so
13 what is it what did you say Rachel
1357
yeah
I mean
some options, then we have to come up with what where we're going to make up for that.
Yeah. That's fair.
Jimmy?
You could also give us some ideas.
You want higher?
Well, I mean, what I was going off of was the New York State Association of Counties is projecting between 3 and 11%. I think that's what Mr. Deigert's saying. Should we go 3, 9, and 12? So you've got the low end and the high end of their projections.
That's
sure, that would be reality.
Okay.
Yeah.
Three.
And I know, you know, again, I want to say I know what we're asking is difficult. We hope that what we've been presented with is a short-term crisis, but, you know, I think short-term is relative. This could be 2 months. It could be 18 months. We don't know. We don't know. Even if we get this all clear to go back to the new normal, we don't know what that new normal is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be cautious. You know, I think presenting – you know, the whole idea of an austerity budget is to give you breathing room in time of crisis, and we're in a time of crisis right now, and I just think it would help to see what that looks like. So if we could get those numbers and then go from there.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you.
Other business from the council? Councillor McCormick?
No, I have nothing.
Councillor Cuddy?
No conflict.
Councilor Castro?
All set, thank you.
Do we have a request for executive session?
Nope.
All right, good. Can I get a motion for adjournment?
So
And I guess I'll second it. All right.
Motion to adjourn. Councilor McCormick?
Aye.
Councilor Genatino?
Aye.
Councilor Cuddy?
Yes.